food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We're going to be talking about all kinds of issues today. Of course, we're going to have to talk about Egypt, the things, the violence is now becoming very... although it's amazing, as many people that have gotten together, I guess that the death toll now is at 10. It surprises me that it isn't much higher than that, and of course it could very well be, but reporting is something else that we can depend on. So we're going to be talking a lot of things today, and if you have any questions that you'd like to send us, please make sure that you direct them to questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. But first, let's get to the markets today. Interesting day in the markets. For about an hour, a little over an hour this morning, from 7:49, I believe, to 8:51. I don't have the exact times right in front of me. Something like that, almost an hour, a little over an hour. They had trading problems. And, of course, today was the day they released the big employment numbers. And of course, it was just the trading disruption on the New York Stock Exchange was, of course, as that report was being released at 8:30 this morning. And, of course, gold really wasn't that down that big prior to trade. They actually had the stock market up almost 200 points in the futures market. And then all of a sudden, the Dow took a reversal. Gold started to go back down. And then later on in the day, now you have the Dow back up 146 points at 15,135 and the NASDAQ up 35 at 34,79. So interesting. Glitches. It's becoming just common. Oh, it was just another glitch. And this is what you get when you depend on that trade, when the whole system is based on computers. All it takes is one little glitch. So the glitch that we had today in gold, down 31 bucks today. And of course, very light trading through the holiday. Very few businesses were open today. A lot of people are still off due to the 4th. It was only us diehards that worked today. And again, gold down 31 at 12.22. You have silver down 85, 18.97. Platinum was down $13 at $13.32, along with palladium down $2 at $287. USDX today against the unemployment numbers today, or the employment numbers, was up strong, 0.69 at 84.44. And, of course, crude oil, that's topping out at 103, up $2 based on Egypt and the possibility of the Suez Canal being a problem as they, I guess they declared the Suez Canal as a state of emergency. And, of course, there's discussions that it could possibly curtail some of the oil flow coming around those areas. But so people are taking advantage of that trade. I mentioned that the markets were up strong, big reversals. It was down like 200 points, reversed and came back 150. So a lot of up and down today. It'd be interesting to figure out the exact how many points it actually did move today. The S&P was up 16 at 1631, and the 10-year 2.72%, 2.72% on the 10-year yield. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Our website, dgscoins.com, and questions for the program, please direct them to questions@dgscoins.com. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody. When they have a computer glitch, does that mean if you lost money, you get your money back? Do they refund any money that was lost in the midst of that computer glitch?
I don't think they do. I don't.
Well, what about the the people who made money in the computer glitch? Do they have to turn
it
back or even identify themselves?
There's been various glitches, and I think the very
they
first
write them
glitch,
off as glitches.
They, yeah,
they write them off as glitches, and I have a hunch that
I think the very first one they did. The very first one when you had the Dow drop like 1,000 points, like in 2 seconds. I think they did void those trades.
Crash.
Pardon?
A flash crash.
Flash crash. They did void those trades. But in something...
It may be. That may be correct the first time. But once they get into this, they man, you can make a fortune on this stuff. You know, I mean, if you know when it's going to happen, if you know that the market is going to move 100 points in 2 or 3 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever, and you actually know what's going to happen, all you got to do is if you know where the market's going to be just seconds from now, fractions of a second from now, if you're in a position to buy and sell at the right time, bang, you can make a fortune in a matter of perhaps microseconds. It's all weird, and it's part of a world we have come to live in that's corrupt. You know, one of the things I've looked at, a lot of people think that the government is becoming increasingly fascist. And when we think of fascism, we think of, historically, it's been defined as a very close relationship between major corporations and government. That's one of the definitions of fascism, or one of the descriptions of fascism. And a lot of people think of fascism, and you think of, you got that Sieg Heil, and you got that big salute going from the Germans, and you've got Mussolini in Italy standing up and looking arrogant and proud and the rest of this sort of thing. And there's a big military component in fascism, of course. And people look at it as an ideology. We have people goose-stepping, and they're fascists. And some people think it's a terrible thing, and some people think it's a great thing, but they think of it as a question of ideology. And what I've come to understand is fascism is nothing more than massive corruption. What fascism is all about is a relationship between major corporations and government, where government passes laws that will help major corporations to hold whatever power and market position they have and increase their profits, and the major corporations turn around and they hand out political campaign contributions and other bribes to people in government to make sure that they keep on passing laws in order to enrich the corporations. And what it's all about is just a bunch of crooks trying to get the money. And they may dress up in fancy uniforms and spit shine their boots, but what they are a bunch of crooks and thugs who don't give a damn about anything other than trying to acquire as many unearned dollars as is humanly possible. And that is my description du jour for fascism, and I think there's a case to be made that's the kind of government we have increasingly. It's just corruption. It's just a fancy name for money-loving, corrupt, worthless SOBs who don't give a damn about this country.
Yeah, but you know what, Al? You know, I was talking to someone earlier today, and it's like, you know what? There's a lot of blame to pass around for the problems that we're in because, you know, as a voting nation, we allowed these crooks to get in there, and we don't require any accountability. I mean, not only do we not require it in that area, but even in our personal lives anymore, from the simplest things, there's no accountability in anything.
And well, I agree. It's not just the fault of government,
and
per
it's
se.
A large part of that is by eliminating God from everything.
Well, I agree.
Because we used to be accountable to Him.
Well, I agree, and it's part again. It goes to a system of values. If you're going to live in a nation, ultimately, you have a sense of right and wrong. If you're going to live in an economy, the concept of right and wrong is replaced by profit and loss. We are increasingly living in an economy. We adopt the values of the economy, which are ultimately, economic values are ultimately all about the money. Anything that makes money makes sense. If it makes money, you know, greed is good, as what's his name said in the movie. Greed is good. No, it's not good. Damn it. Greed might be profitable, but it's not good. And when you try to say greed is good, no, it may be profitable, but that's not the same thing as good. And people don't understand that. They don't get it, which we are perhaps relearning it. But you're right. The whole moral structure of the country is conducive to corruption.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's like having a little kid in a candy store. If there's no one there to tell him he can't eat it,
that's exactly right.
He's going to eat it all.
Yeah, and that's
and
just,
it's not healthy.
And who's running the candy store? More kids.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the kids are not only stopping in to eat the candy in the candy store, the kids that are running the candy store eating all the candy. Everybody's going to get sick from eating all the candy. And when we get sick enough, then we will have our belly ache and whatever, and people say, oh my gosh, how could this happen? And it happened because we have watched Dancing with the Stars rather than reading books. You know, it is unfortunate. I am entertained by television as much as anyone. Well, maybe not as much as anyone, but I don't have television. I don't have a TV, but I get television programs over the internet. You get them, I see them, and so on. It's you know, a little bit of the pot calling the kettle black, but I recognize that you really don't learn much from television, largely because most of television is devoted to entertainment rather than education. But beyond that, if you want to do real education, you have to do books. You got to read. Right? And those of us who think we are educated merely by watching TV, it's just not true. And it is, and we have to recognize, as entertaining as television can be, it's fun. You know, we like watching these dopey programs. They're fun. But we live at a time when you can't simply devote your life to having fun. You have to actually take it seriously, in my opinion, because I think we're facing difficult times. And I don't just mean the recession and perhaps depression that we've had for the last several years in this country. I'm talking about what's coming. I'm not talking about the problems we've had for the last 4 years. Before this is done, what is headed our way may make the last 4 years look like fun. You know, one of these days they'll be doing Happy Days. They'll be doing a remake of the TV program Happy Days, and it will be in the period of about 2010, right? When we were just midway through our little recession and or depression, just getting into it. And they'll look back and they'll say, Happy Days. He's, you know, and who knows, Ron Howard, well, when they get him to do a reprise on Happy Days.
Well, yesterday I learned, on a lot of these three-day weekends, I don't know if they have a special, but they show a long period of Twilight Zones, Rod Serling's Twilight Zone. You could learn something from some of those programs sometime about people and so forth. So I watched Twilight Zone yesterday. But you know what amazes me, Al? Sometimes I'll just be looking at, and you're right. I think it's one thing to use the television to, if you know what's going on and so forth and you have an understanding. I watch it sometimes because I use it for shock value. I'm just shocked at the programs that are on there. I mean, Honey Boo Boo and some of these other things. It's like, you got to be kidding me. What is the mentality?
I don't know anything. I've never heard of Honey Boo Boo before.
Watch that. That says it all. I mean, I didn't watch it.
You'll have to send me the channel for that. Tell me the channel and the time for that, because I've never seen it. And if it's really shocking, then I probably ought to watch it. I feel obligated, you know.
But, I mean, it is such a low level that they bring the listeners to, or the viewers. It's to me that it's in itself is shocking.
Well, they're looking for that lowest common denominator. Yes. We're all susceptible to it to some degree. Mm. And it goes to a fundamental problem, again, in attitude and values, where are we going to seek that which is best and highest, or are we going to just wallow down which is lowest and perhaps most comfortable? Mm. You know, are we going to aspire to get better, or are we going to just sit back and grin and lay in the mud? What do you think?
Well, here's another definition of fascism sent in from Jim from West Virginia. He says, from his parents, that state of affairs, when a small group of people gain control over a government to eliminate their competition and force us to become their customers.
Yeah, I agree. Same thing. And the way it's done is the corporations draft laws, and this is just what's happening in our government right now. Our congressmen don't even read the bills that they vote for. Classic example is they voted for Obamacare without even reading it. Nancy Pelosi said, well, you have to vote for it, then you can see what it says. And the damn fools, and I'm talking about every congressman, every senator up there in the cat house on the Potomac, they just voted for these things without even knowing what they say.
Well, it isn't the first time now.
They're brokering laws. They are not legislating. They are brokering laws the same way that, I don't know, stock salesmen broker stocks. It's the same thing. They are moving laws as commodities, and they get paid to do it. And that's why they don't read it. That's why they vote for these things. Someone is paying somebody to get this done. And the special interests will draft the legislation, walk into congressman's office, and essentially said, we'll give you this much money if you will get this law enacted. And if the money's right, and they talk to the right number of congressmen, the key congressmen, key senators, yes, the law gets enacted. What does it mean? Nobody knows. They, with Obamacare, they have come to realize it's going to drive many of the staff off of congressional, out of the White House, or out of the Congress, because the staffers can't afford the Obamacare requirements. And now they're thinking about how do we go back and we want to amend Obamacare to exempt Congress and its staff. All of those people need to be turned off. They don't want Obamacare. They know it's a bad deal for them, but they still want it for all the rest of the people that are watching Dancing with the Stars.
Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo, which I haven't seen yet, but again.
But you know, Obamacare isn't the only thing that has been passed with that. I believe the Patriot Act was passed without being read. I remember Bush and Cheney going in, when they would have their late night sessions, going in advertising, they'd be in there, private, you know, no media, no, everything's quiet. Visit chambers, next thing you know, you come out and there it goes. There goes that legislation, all passed and approved. And so I don't know how many skeletons these guys
have in their closets.
Yep.
Michael Moore, when he did one of his movies, I can't remember which one it was, but he interviewed Claude Rangel, a black congressman, I can't remember his name, it wasn't Rangel, black congressman, but in any case, out of New York City, and Michael Moore, and this goes back most of 10 years ago, he says, why didn't you even read the Patriot Act before you voted for it? And the congressman he was talking to said, welcome to Washington, boy, we don't read any of the legislation we vote for.
Yep.
That was 10 years ago. Right? This isn't new, and it's terrible, it's awful, it's completely irresponsible, and it's part of the reason why we're in the trouble that we're in and why we're going to see more trouble than we've seen. I'm Alfred Adask. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I just want to tell the listeners out there that we're going to be closing a little early today, shortly after the program. So make sure you give us a call. I'll return everybody's call and lock in any prices if you'd wish to do so. So about 15 minutes after the program. Late night listeners, just call and leave messages, and we'll return your call and get your prices all locked in for you, get your orders. But give us a call at 800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com. That's DGS for discount gold silver coins. com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And of course, you can listen to the archives of these programs. So, and we thank you for your support. And the employment numbers today, Al, they were up. I'm just going to touch on this briefly. We'll go into it a little bit more on Monday. All the reports, everyone talking, they were all giggly about that the report contained little in the way of bad news, with the size of the labor force growing and the participation rate rising slightly. Well, the number of people working part-time because they couldn't find a full-time position rose by 322,000 from the month before. Now, if you talk to those people, I think that would be bad news if you're looking for a full-time job and all you can get is a part-time job.
I'd say there's another thing also. Everyone understands that because of Obamacare, people
That's right.
are cutting back the number of hours. Instead of having, if you're not a full-time employee, they don't have to worry about providing, the company doesn't have to absorb the costs of Obamacare if you're not a full-time employee. They have apparently reduced the number of hours that it was required to be full-time employee from 40 to down in the neighborhood of 30. I'm not sure where it is right now. It implies that a whole bunch of people have, who used to have 40-hour-a-week jobs, now have 30-hour-a-week jobs or maybe 20-hour-a-week jobs. Well, what do you think they're doing? They're going out and finding another job. And we've got a guy who used to work 40 hours a week at the Smith Manufacturing Company. Now he's working 20 hours a week. So what does he do? He goes across the street to the Brown Manufacturing Company, and he takes another 20-hour-a-week job. And the guy that was working at Brown for 40 hours a week is now working 20 hours a week at Brown, and he goes across the street to Smith and takes a 20-hour-a-week job at Smith. Now, the two workers are still working 40 hours a week, but it shows up on the books as they have created two extra jobs. Now, I'm exaggerating, but to make a point, I'm not saying that's happening in all instances or even a majority of instances, but I have little doubt that that principle applies, you know, significantly. Yeah, we have more people working part-time. Why? Because they want to work full-time. The whole thing is just nuts. It's just nuts.
And it really is. And a lot of those jobs that are being created are in low-wage sectors. And what I find interesting, you know, they're all giddy about this report. The biggest job gains were in leisure and hospitality. Hello, it's summertime. Yes, you're going to hire more waitresses. You're going to hire more maids. You're going to hire more, you know, anything that has to do with the summer. You have all your amusement parks that are opening up, so you're going to have to hire, you know, folks for that. Of course you're going to see the leisure and hospitality, but they described it on CNBC today. It's because there's more wealth. There's more wealth being created that people are having a better time, that now they can go out and eat more, go out to dinner and do all these leisurely and hospitality things now that it's a better income. What I found interesting, though, Al, was the construction and manufacturing were a little changed. Construction, you'd think through the summertime that you would see more increase there than what we have. So
we've got an article here that deals with reasons to be concerned about the global economy. And the number one reason on the list is the velocity of money in the United States has plunged to an all-time low. All right? And what they mean by the velocity of money is the rate at which money, a particular dollar bill, moves from hand to hand. In other words, I get $1,000. How fast do I spend that $1,000 and pass it to someone else? I go down to the store and buy a new flat screen TV so I can watch Honey Boo Boo or whatever it is. You know, you wonder, why do I have a job if I'm going to spend it buying a TV to watch Honey Boo Boo? I don't know. But in any case, how fast do I spend my $1,000? And once the people at the store get the $1,000 and they pay their help, how fast does the help spend the $1,000 a second time and a third time and a fourth time? And the velocity, the rate of movement in the money is indicative of whether the economy is recovering or stagnating and falling down. Well, right now, the velocity of money in the United States has plunged to an all-time low, at least according to this report at the economiccollapseblog.com. Now, if that's true, it's completely contrary to any notions about more wealth. It indicates what we have is perhaps more paranoia, more savings. People are grabbing hold of dollars and hanging on tight because they are fearful of what may be coming. This is evidence of the mentality that is characteristic of an economic depression. In an economic depression, nobody wants to spend anything. They are so concerned, they are so insecure that they don't want to spend a dollar because they're afraid they have to have something for tomorrow and the month from now and a year from now. And therefore, they won't spend unless they absolutely have to. And if they don't spend, then the store can't afford to keep its help. Then the help is unemployed and the help becomes paranoid. And they hold every little dollar they can lay hands on. And the whole economy grinds to a halt. A decline in the velocity of money is evidence that we are in that. We're certainly in that mentality that's, you know, characteristic of a depression. Extremely difficult to have an economic recovery. Banks are not lending and people are not spending. And that's where we are. And people are saying, hooray, we have more part-time workers. Good grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, it's like saying, hooray, I had a great day today. I didn't lose one of my legs. You know, we are celebrating things. We're celebrating that we haven't yet had a disaster. That's cause for celebration. It's not happy days are here again, but the disaster is not here yet. And we shall see how long that continues. What else have we got, Melody?
Well, we got a couple of questions. Should we save them till? Well, let's go ahead and do this one. This is actually from Mitchell. He says his theory is that the establishment is selling its gold reserves and using the money to buy stocks. And that is why we are seeing a bear market in gold and a bull market in the stock market. What do you think?
I think, first off, the establishment is not selling its gold, it's selling our gold. There is good reason to at least suspect that the gold that is allegedly stored at Fort Knox and at the New York Federal Reserve Bank vaults on behalf of the American people and the United States government, that much of it, maybe all of it, has been secretly sold off. And it's part of the reason and mechanism by which they've been able to suppress the price of gold and maintain an exaggerated value for the dollar, maintain the illusion that the dollar still has some significant value. Are they selling their gold? I wish they were. If they're selling their gold, I'm all in favor of it. Go ahead, sell your gold. As I said, you know, a week or two ago, as far as I'm concerned, gold can fall to a price of $35 an ounce. Suits me just fine. I'll buy every coin I can find. Right? $35 an ounce, $100 an ounce, $1,000 an ounce. The lower the price is, the better it is for me in terms of being able to purchase gold, because I don't believe for 1 minute it's a bad investment. All right? And therefore, believing that it will go up and up dramatically, the cheaper it is, the better I like it now. And people that are selling their own gold, and some of you have to, some of us have to, you've got to liquidate, you've got some coins, once in a while something comes up and you've got to liquidate some of your coins, I get that. You can't be helped at times. But if you're selling your gold out of fear, that's just foolishness, in my opinion. Huh? I think it's you hang on, you hang on, you hang on, and you will be a happy camper before this is all over. So are the elites selling their own gold? I don't think they're that dumb. I think they're creating circumstances where they persuade other people to sell their gold. They are creating circumstances where the government and the Federal Reserve releases its gold into the market and the elite have an opportunity to buy it at fire sale prices. But I doubt that they're selling their gold to generate enough money to buy stocks. That's just stupid. They the stock market is being supported, in my opinion, by fiat currency, not by the sale of gold, but by printing more fiat currency. That's all. It's more paper dollars. That's what's supporting the stock market. I don't believe it's gold. I believe the sale of gold. I believe it's the purchases with fiat currency that they can spin out of thin air. The whole thing is an illusion. The whole thing is insane, and it can't be sustained. Sooner or later, reason has to prevail. And when it does, it's going to, I guarantee you, it's going to be a painful, it's going to be a painful situation when we realize that we are wasting our time with honey boo boo. Okay.
What makes it more difficult this time to understand why the price of gold is dropping compared to in the past? I mean, when we had the big drop before, I mean, when we had gold go to 250, you had England, you had Brown selling their gold.
Yeah.
It's there in our face. We knew. Various times through the years, the IMF would come out and they say, oh, well, we're selling our gold and blah, blah, blah. You know, it would have impacts on the market, but they were never long term. Everything would come back because they were just really testing the market. And lots of times, I mean, how many times did they announce that they were selling before they actually did?
Brown did.
IMF did, absolutely.
And the reason that's crazy, and it's evidence, or at least it would seem to be crazy. Suppose I have 50 Cadillacs, and I announce that I'm going to sell them all this weekend. Well, I guarantee you, everybody coming in this weekend is going to know that I'm going to take a lower price. If I'm determined to sell all 50, I'll take anything I can get. If I told people I was just going to be selling Cadillacs this weekend, I'd be able to sell them at full price. When Brown announced that they were that England was going to dispose of I don't know how many hundred tons of gold, he guaranteed that England would receive a lower price for the gold. I don't know what the price was before he made the announcement, but let's suppose it was $200 an ounce. By making the announcement, oh, guess what? We're going to sell 250 tons of gold or whatever number it was. He knocked the price of gold down to, who knows, maybe $180 an ounce. Before he even sold it, he guaranteed they even took a loss on the gold. Not just that they sold it, but he made it possible and he made it necessary. He guaranteed that England would take a loss on the gold that it was selling. The whole thing is irrational. Well, at least it seems that. It seems irrational if you assume that the government is working for the best interests of the people. Under those circumstances, it's irrational. If the government is working for other interests, for special interests, for its own interest, another story entirely. What else do we have, Melody?
Well, you're right. And my point is they're doing it with talk. There's no fundamental reasons why gold is going down. You know, you have Bernanke now that's testing the markets as they come out, talking about the QE3 being cut off, which will means the economy is becoming better and stronger and so forth. And we could go, there are no fundamental reasons at all why gold should be at these levels. They're basically
no, there's good fundamental
it,
reasons
they're
why
talking
it, should
it
not.
Down. Exactly.
The demand has increased dramatically on a global basis. Huh? There is reason to believe there's a right now, in order to get a delivery of physical gold in some places, you have to wait 100 days. And what they are realizing is the reason there's a 100-day delay is because the bullion banks don't have any gold.
That's right.
They're telling you, oh, everybody's just got to wait their turn in line. No, that's not what's going on. It's not like the lines are so long it takes 100 days to deliver the gold. They don't have gold. It takes 100 days to mine the gold out of the ground, refine it, cast it into bars that the bullion banks can now deliver to people who paid for it. They paid for it long ago, and they want it today. They said, no, it'll take another 100 days. All right, it'll take 100 days to dig it out of the ground, meaning they don't have it. They've exhausted their supply. The truth of this is going to be exposed one way or another in the near future. And if it turns out that some of these bullion banks are in fact out of gold. It means the price is going to jump dramatically. When they finally have to admit, guess what, guys? We're out of gold. Ha! What's going to happen to the demand? What's going to happen to the price? Physical gold will be worth its weight in gold. All right? We're going to take a break here for a couple of moments for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We got a comment in from Murray. Murray's so smart, and I agree with him. Not only are Western government and central bank vaults being emptied, they're also pulled from GLD and SLV ETF inventories, yeah. And that is true. And that's why those programs were created. And most of the gold and silver is heading east to China, India, and Russia.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if there are people who want to sell their gold, that's their business. But if there are people in positions of responsibility in our government and our banking system that are selling America's gold, for me, that's treason. If they have any justifiable reason, I mean, that gold better be there. If I were president and I found out, I would audit, if I elect me president and I would audit the Federal Reserve, I would audit Fort Knox to find out how much gold is really there. And if it turns out it's not there, I guarantee you that there would be trials for treason. There would be no exceptions. There would be no crap. You know, when, who was it? Corzine. who lost billions of dollars, and he just said, well, golly, we don't have any idea how it happened. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to have any idea how you got hanged by the neck until dead either. But if it were up to me, I guarantee you, you'll produce that gold. Somebody's got his name on the line and said there's 8,200 tons of gold. And it better be there, and if it's not, somebody and all his little friends are going up on a rope. And that's, in my opinion, what should be done. They don't have the right to secretly or irresponsibly dispose of the gold. It has, without that, once we get into what may become a greater depression, what are we going to use for capital to work our way out? I mean, the gold is an ultimate form of capital. It's your life preserver. It can get you out of some very difficult situations. Doesn't mean you'll live happily ever after. It's not a perfect solution to all problems, but it's a very important solution to most problems. If they've dissipated the gold, it will be only that much harder for the American people to work their way out of the hole that has been dug for us by our own government. And the government's going to sit there and smile and grin and try to tell everyone that, oh, it was just a mistake. It was, no, it's not. They're doing this to us intentionally. This nation is being destroyed by its own government, and it's going to continue to take place unless the American people wake up and stop accepting the bull crap that comes out of the mouth of Obama and the Congress and the Senate. They need to be held accountable in a way that makes them fearful. All right? Not amused, not a little bit anxious, fearful. And at that point in time, maybe we'll see a change in this country. But until that happens, people in positions of power will continue to take this country down the toilet. Not by accident, but by intent. What else, Melody?
This is in from Phil. He actually sent this last Friday, and with holidays and everything. And I believe Phil is, if I remember correctly, is in Canada. But he says he's tempted to make sense of the beating of gold and silver has taken of late. His theory is that the economic authorities are attempting to protect at all costs the stock market and the status of the U.S. dollar as the world's primary reserve currency. The stock market is a major component of the pension funds that seniors need for their well-being, and the dollar as the primary reserve currency is the foundation of America's prosperity. Every other financial asset, including precious metals, is being sacrificed to protect these financial interests. Does this theory have any merit?
Yeah, it has some, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I've watched over the years, I published a magazine that dealt with legal reform issues back from 1990 to 2002. And I watched people that would be involved in, they tried to use comptroller. What was it? I can't even remember. They were making homemade money orders. And this sounds crazy, but in fact, they did their research, and they understood the law, and they understood what a money order required, and they understood that it was no reason why private people couldn't make money orders the same as banks did. And it was based in part on having a system that was fiat dollars, and there was all sorts. It was irrational. It was troublesome. But here's my point. I watched a number of these schemes develop. They'd come up with a new one about every 3 years. And the one thing you could count on is that the government would smash those people down brutally. Right? And I came to understand that you can involve yourself in almost any crime you can mention or imagine. And the government might come after you and they might not. But you mess with the money system and they will break you. They will jump on you with both feet and hurt you as bad as you've ever imagined being hurt. And what it told me, and I learned this, I knew that, I understood this back in the early 90s, 20 years ago. The monetary system is the heart of darkness. It's the key to the whole racket. And if that goes down, we are going back to a government that's not run by a bunch of gangsters and crooks. If they can't spend money out of thin air, they have lost most of their power. It is the key to the New World Order. It's the key to big government. Fiat currency. It doesn't help the people. It helps the government. It makes for bigger and bigger and global and international government. It's all dependent on fiat currency. And they were defending it to the best of their ability because it's not their intent to serve the best interests of the American people. Their intention is treason. Their intention is to subvert the United States of America and collapse it into just another, another administrative district of what they hope will be a global government. And fiat currency is the way. My point is, they'll defend the fiat currency, and if they have to sell all the gold, if they have to sell all your children, they'll sell all your children if that's what's required in order to maintain the monetary system. I'm exaggerating, but I'm doing it to make a point, again, to illustrate. For them, this is the, you know, the holy of holies, paper dollars, fiat currency. And on the other hand, it follows that if you would like to get back to a country where freedom and liberty are commonplace, one of the most important things you can do is lend your support to trying to reestablish a gold-based monetary system. Because you can't spin gold out of thin air. Right? You either have an ounce of gold or you don't have an ounce of gold. You can't. The paper gold is not gold. In a gold-based monetary system where the dollars are redeemable for gold, it means people must be responsible. It means the government must be responsible, and anytime you're not, guess what? Everyone else will take advantage and clean you out for your gold. Next thing you know, you're broke. The only way you can avoid insolvency and bankruptcy is you must be responsible. You must be accountable. You must be moral. And with that gold backing, it makes an enormous difference in the system of values that people embrace in the country, in their community, whatever. It's not just a piece of metal. It goes to a level of national morality. And you can't afford to watch Honey Boo Boo. You understand? You can do that in a paper-based monetary system. You can't do it in a gold-based monetary system because they can't spin it out of thin air. You only get gold by being responsible. You must be responsible. And if we were all responsible, this would be a better country. And so far as we're all irresponsible, including Obama and the Congress and the Senate, it's a worse country. And, there's more to gold than just spending or having or investing. There are moral implications that are positive for the nation if anyone cares to protect this nation. What else have we got, Melody? Melody?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. Yes. I think another important part about gold and silver is I believe when you have gold and silver, you are independent. You are free from that system. That doesn't mean that, you know, you can still work, bank, and so forth and do what you need to do. But your gold gives you an independence that if you ever needed to fully pull out of that system, you can. I believe.
What do you mean by independence, Melody?
You can function. Can buy and
which
sell.
Means
you can.
What I'm going to is.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going.
Where I'm going is. Well, I understand that. That's part of my fun, Melody. I have to have a little fun on the program. You know,
I cannot read your mind. I can
ask questions that no one else is going to be able to automatically answer because I've got an answer that I don't think many people have thought of before.
No, it isn't the answer. It's the question.
No, it's the answer. You'll see.
No, it's the question. Go ahead.
What do we mean when we talk about independence? We mean you have the power to survive on an independent basis. People that are independent are necessarily strong, right? And to the extent that I can be independent, it means I have the strength to go it alone. People who do not have the strength and the wherewithal to survive on their own, they don't have that power. They are necessarily dependent or headed for their deaths, right? If you are a dependent, you are weak. If you are independent, you are strong. Independence, people just think in terms of independence, oh, the Declaration of Independence or whatever. No, it goes to whether you are weak or strong. You can't be independent unless you're strong, and you can't be independent financially unless you have your savings stored in a form and a media that is that'll withstand government meddling and perhaps even government confiscation. You want to be independent? Get yourself some gold. It's not the everything you need, but it's one of the most important things. So there. There's my question and my answer, Melody.
Very good, Al.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to learn how to read your mind.
No, I don't think
I want to do that. Anyway, it's Friday. Where do you want to...
Well, here's one. Here's something that I've got an article here from Christian Post, I believe. Yeah. Banning homeschools teaches tolerance of diverse views, Justice Department argues. Let's see. Advancing the goal of tolerance in society may require denying parents the right to determine their children's education. And this is according to the U.S. Justice Department. That was their argument in a legal brief for the case of a German homeschooling family seeking asylum. Okay? We've got a German family. They want to homeschool their kids, and it's against the law in Germany. All right? So they want asylum in this country in order to homeschool their kids. Now, the government, our government, initially granted them admittance into the United States, but now they're arguing we got to throw these people out because they say in order to teach tolerance, we can't afford to have people who have homeschooling. They want advancing the goal of tolerance. We will not tolerate homeschooling is what it comes down to. These people, Romikes, that was their last name, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, fled the United States from Germany, faced heavy fines, and the possibility of having their children taken away from them, from choosing to homeschool. And now our government wants to send them back to Germany, all right? They because they don't want homeschooling in this country. They want the government, they're arguing that it should be up to the government to decide how to educate our children. And they're saying, in the name of tolerance, we've got to have plurality. We've got to learn to respect other people's opinions in an open, pluralistic society. But we don't want to respect the other people's opinions if their opinion embraces homeschooling. And the homeschooling inevitably depends on, well, not inevitably, but typically, depends on a Christian background. All right? So here we have the government saying, we want diversity, but we don't want diversity to include homeschoolers. We want diversity and different opinions, but we don't want the opinions of those who are homeschooled and or Christians. And the whole thing becomes irrational. We, at the same time, our government allows, encourages, and even rewards the invasion of 20 million illegal aliens into this country. They're going to send a family of Germans back to Germany where they might lose their children in order to support the idea that homeschooling is no good and children must be educated by the government. How does government do any good for this country? I mean, government screws up virtually everything it touches. And yet, the government insists that it must have control over how children be educated. Now, that's the argument advanced by the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. We have not exterminated the homeschooling movement yet in this country, but government would like to. Well, it's just another leaf in the breeze. The government's not here to help you. The government is here to control you. If you don't want to be controlled, you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to start to read. You're going to have to and even lay hands on some gold and silver and guns and bullets and your own land and maybe an opportunity to raise your own crops. God knows where it's going to end, but it's not going to end well, at least not in the next several years. I'm Alfred Addis. I want to thank all of you for listening. Cedarstrom, we'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad?
still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.